Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Haseo, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We got Jerry's Percentages in about a half an hour. Nick Foligno will join us. One-time Maple Leaf, former Leaf. He's got an alumni jacket.
Yeah.
He's out in Boston. And I'm sure every workplace, you know, regardless of your profession, you have, you know, moments where you panic because you think you put yourself in a bad spot. I just ate 2 cookies so fast, and I thought I was just about to choke out. I didn't think I could make it on the air at 5. But I made it.
Were they good? What kind of cookies are we dealing with here?
Like rainbow cookies, you know, like basically M&M
kind of cookies. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to hear it later because I went shopping this morning, and I bought like the exact same cookies. So when my wife gets home, she's going to be like, what the hell's the matter with you? Like, she just bought like one of those farmer's market. There's like 45 cookies in there.
Yeah.
And I went out to a different spot and bought basically the same cookies. So
how have you managed to keep the weight off? Like, you lost 100 pounds by some diet, but it doesn't seem...
100 pounds.
Didn't you lose 100? Not accurate. No.
That's a little rich.
You told me you lost 100.
No. 100, dude? No, I didn't lose 100. Now, I don't know. The thing is, when I was in the dark, dark era of Peter Griffin, I was running away from scale. So I don't know exactly the weight that I started at.
You had to have been pushing 3 bills.
No, I wasn't pushing 3.
Well, okay, hold on a second.
270, maybe. Maybe 270.
Okay, then. You know what, though?
Well,
you're
185 pounds. You're close to 100. I was going to say,
Wasn't there a time where you were at like 187 or
186 or 187 was where I got. That was like the lowest. And then I was like, what the hell am I doing? I got to spring back up here.
You were like eating an apple. Like
yeah,
I remember that. We were in studio. You'd have those little granola bars that said 100 calories on them. Like you were literally counting calories.
Because it was all about calories. Like it was all about eating. Yeah. You know, smaller meals every few hours. I don't even remember the name of the company. In fact, I'm not even sure it passed, like, you know, the grade up here in Canada.
It was illegal.
I don't think it ever actually got registered. I think, like, the federal government basically said, this can't continue here.
Yeah.
So I was a good 80, probably. Yeah, I would say it was. It could have been. It could have been. And then I sprung back up, and I've been at, like, 205 for... I don't know, like 7 years. And it's a miracle, man, the way I eat.
I was going to say, like, miracle. Isn't a concern of just ballooning, like, right back to the 290 mark?
Again, 290 I don't think was ever actually, you know, in the cars necessarily. But yes, to answer you, yes. I mean, when it starts, because I am a scale guy now. Like, I jump on the scale basically every morning. And when it, you know, you come off a big weekend or something, all of a sudden it,
What about the elliptical? The elliptical's been down there. It's waiting for you.
Gone, man. I did that goofy one. I did that one little video that was fraudulent. It was a Tom Brady video. That was on January 5th.
What do you mean gone? You got rid of it?
No, I still have it. It's 20 feet from me, but I haven't touched it. You know, remember, that was going to be the New Year's resolution. I was going to jump on the elliptical every day. And then I literally Brady'd it where I posted a fake, like, fraudulent video. This is how scummy it was. I used my eldest daughter to portray this myth that I was actually using the elliptical when I didn't. I just did it specifically for appearances and to post online. And I never got on it. And I don't know. Like, the elliptical is not a tough grind either. It's a goofy apparatus. Like, you're just, you know, you're just going for a cruise.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why I don't jump on it, but I just don't.
45 minutes, watch SportsCenter, and you're done.
Like, I got the
massive
projector
TV down
screen
there.
Down here. You know, it's cool in the basement. Like, there is no rhyme or reason for not getting on there. It's just lazy. Like, there's no other way around it. It's either lazy or now, like, I'm teeing it. Like, golfing kind of keeps me active, right? Not that I'm walking.
Do you guys, are there people that you golf with that are watching their steps? Be like, I've got, you know, 12,000 steps right now walking.
Probably. Not that I'm aware of, but I'm sure guys can track that. You got to walk, though, for that to happen. Me and O are always driving carts, right?
That's true. Well, doesn't O have that?
Oh, that's true. He's a walker now.
Contraption?
Friday, I take the moto caddies, only on Fridays.
Friday, you go out for a cruise? A little walk and get the steps up. I like that.
If that motor, like if that caddy or whatever, say you didn't want to walk, is there a way you can jump on and it drives you too? Like, is there like a little?
There are machines like that. They're like little bikes. Like you turn around, you sit on your clubs, and it's like a bike.
That's what you need. Like a, you know, just a makeshift golf club bag.
Well, they got all kinds of cool stuff, but courses around here are so stuffy. It's like there's surfboard little carts, and you could surfboard out there.
Yeah,
I mean.
Surfing seems a little bit. Why would you surf around for 18?
Dude, it's like a what are they called? A little mopeds or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The thing that almost killed Usain Bolt, like the thing that guy was on.
No, yeah. I'll show you.
Segway.
A Segway. That's what it's called.
Yes,
a Segway.
You need. I guarantee you, Nick Foligno walks the course because he's in great shape.
He is in great shape, but he's getting up there. You know, he's been around the league for a while. I wonder if he just hates the idea of working out. Like,
Not a chance. That guy's in great shape. He doesn't hate working out.
Why wouldn't you hate? There's nothing wrong with admitting that you hate working out. I think it makes you even more of a pro because you made it. You work. Here's a longtime NHLer, former Leaf. He's with the Bruins. Back on the show, here's Nick Foligno. Be honest with us, Nick. Do you hate working out in the summer, or do you actually have an appreciation for it?
I love it, actually, but I will say that I hate walking a golf course, so I'll definitely take a cart any day of the week.
Yes.
So when you're retired, do you think you'll be working?
Mostly because I got to walk from tree to tree to find my ball, so I'd rather just take a cart and try to find it that way.
What about when you're done playing? Do you think you'll still be workout guy?
Yeah, I think so. Well, first of all, my wife already put the death ride in, like the death act. If I get fat, then I'm in trouble, so... And I'm already bald, so I gotta stay in good shape here, you know? Kind of important, but...
Bald and fat is tough.
That's two strikes, is that what you're saying?
I'm Italian, so I like my pasta, I like my wine. It's dangerous. That's why I gotta stay on top of it so I can enjoy it.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. I mean, I always appreciated guys who are like, no, I hate working out. Like if I could, and they're basically what they're telling you is the second they retire, they are going to balloon, right? Like they have no interest of staying in shape.
It's funny to watch some guys. And who knows what I'll be like, but I think I'm too vain. I'm going to want to at least stay in decent shape. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Easy to say now.
Yeah. So when you do golf, like O just suggested, some guy owns a surfboard and surfs around 18. If you got paired with someone and he had a surfboard on wheels and that's how he decided to operate.
But it carries your bag too.
No, I know that.
Pretty solid.
Would you be cool with that or would you say, I got to find a new partner? Like I can't be spotted with you on that surfboard.
That's a little tough. I mean, it's a little tough. But depends on where. I mean, if you're out in L.A. golfing, I mean, it's kind of... If you're in northern Ontario where I'm from, Sudbury, surfboard's a little tough. A little tough.
Yeah, I don't know if you're pulling that off in Sudbury.
Need like a miner's bucket, you know, like a miner's bucket.
If you're at a surfboard, it might be a fist fight afterwards in Sudbury. You never know. It's pretty gritty there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There would be no drinks after the round. It'd be like, get me away from this guy.
Can you touch on how good of a spot Columbus, Ohio is for a golf destination? I played some golf there. There's like Memorial, there's Scioto, the golf club. Like there is some unreal places to play golf in Columbus.
Yeah, you know what? You nailed it. Like it's sneaky, really, really good golfing. And like so many guys, when they, you know, that come to play, they end up joining Mirfield or Scioto. And they're just like, they're obsessed with it. You know, I know Scott Hartnell was like instantly when he got there was, you know, joined Mirfield, gotten in. And it's incredible. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge golfer, but I became one just by being there just because you have to. There's just so many good courses. Like you said, the golf club is one that I don't think a lot of people know about. And then even our owner, he owns one of the top 100 private courses in the country called Double Eagle. And it barely gets played. You know, this like Wayne Gretzky's a member. They got this unbelievable tiki hut on 14 that when the pirate ship, when the pirate flag's up, it means it's open and you can go there. And a lot of guys don't end up finishing their rounds. So that's a good story Wayne had there. He never finished a round. But it's a really cool spot.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. You get up to the tiki hut and Gretzky's sitting there like, ah, I guess we're not playing anymore. Let's just kind of hang out and see what happens.
Not a lot of guys make it through, that's for sure. If that pirate flag's flying, it's usually the end of your round. So
that's
a lot of fun.
That's
but yeah, amazing, amazing place to play golf. And I mean, you know, the Memorial Tournament, even being there, it's an incredible time. So it's definitely, like you said, a sneaky, really good golf town. And, you know, a lot of guys definitely go there as a place to play for sure.
We're chatting with Nick Foligno of the Boston Bruins. So you've been playing in the East, you know, your whole career, and you're familiar with these Lightning, man. You were a part of that team that shocked the world when they got swept, and you've been in the East with the Leafs last year, obviously Boston this year. How much of an appreciation do you have for what they're accomplishing? They've won 10 playoff rounds in a row. That is third all time. I know, you know, again, you've been on the right side of it, playing them a few years ago and not necessarily up directly against them. But, you know, what do you make of what they've accomplished here over the last couple of years and what they continue to do?
Well, I just remember playing them in the series that we beat them and, you know, and really frustrating them and kind of breaking down, you know, a lot of what they were about, you know, and I think it really, you know, shocked them in the sense that they were that quick out of the playoffs after having a storied year, right? I think they had like the highest points in a long time or maybe the most in regular season. I can't remember. But what impressed me the most was the following year, how they addressed their weaknesses and even the mental toughness that they had to have to overcome that. And we ended up playing them again in that bubble, and they were like a completely different team in one year. And I was so impressed by that because sometimes, you know, you don't know how it shapes a team, especially in a year like that where the year was kind of messed up. And they just seemed to understand who they are and what they did wrong. And they you know, they tacked, and it was impressive. Like they were a complete, I remember playing them and being like, whoa, these guys are a lot more stiff. They're a lot more battle hardened. And I think they've really found the recipe of what it is that makes them good. And you can see it. Like they've all bought in. You know, I was watching them the other day. I mean, I hate watching playoffs when you get out, but you know, you're watching guys block shots, and don't get me wrong, Vasilevsky is incredible, but just the attention to detail that team seems to have and the pieces that are in there that have been there for a while have really understood what's made them successful, and they're playing to that, and they're confident, obviously. So it's a testament to that group. I mean, you hate to play against them, but they've done it right for a long time now.
In your opinion, Nick, who is the head of the snake of that Tampa team? Is it the goalie?
Ooh.
Is it Kucherov? Is it Stamkos? Is it Point? Like, who is the headman? I mean, who's the if you're going to cut the head off the snake, who would it be?
I don't know. Is it like a five-headed snake? Is that, you know?
It might be.
And that's what I think, duh. I really do. Like, to be honest with you, I'd say, like, Point's their engine man. Like, he's their motor. You know, he just never stops. He's an Energizer's bunny, and he, you know, the way he plays. And then he goes out, and they dismantle Florida, you know? So how do you, it's crazy. And I think they know who they are so well. They're confident in what they've achieved and you know, who can step in. And I don't think they try to, you know, be something they're not. I think that's what they've learned. You know, there's a recipe that they have, and they stick to it, and they believe in themselves. And the guys play that identity. And I think they've brought in pieces that really fit that mold and who they want to be. So, you know, it's a testament to them, and it's on us to try and break that up. And hopefully we can do that. And we'll see what happens the rest of the playoffs. But it's impressive. I mean, look at Vasilevsky. Anytime the going gets tough, I mean, every loss, he bounces back with a win. I mean, that's impressive in itself just by a goalie. I mean, you know, we all know how important goaltending is. And, you know, you see that. He proves it night in and night out a lot of times in the playoffs. It's an impressive record he's on right now.
Well, Nick, you talk about the team that you're on right now, and, you know, at the start of the season, I think there were a lot of people that were like, hey, there's some turnover there with Krejci not coming back. You know, Tuukka Rask wasn't available. He ends up retiring. And is it a culture thing in Boston that everyone kind of conforms to? I mean, is Bergeron the guy that kind of sets the pace, or Marchand? I've talked to a few guys that have played for the team, and they just said how everyone's so disciplined, everyone kind of falls into line, and they're a very hardworking group.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I saw as soon as I got here. I mean, there's just a standard, and then they really don't dip below it. And if they do, it's addressed quickly. And you know, and I know early on we kind of struggled, but there was just a lot of new faces I don't think this team was used to be honest with you. I mean, they've had a lot of the same players for a lot of years. And, you know, there was just so many guys coming in. And I think it took a while for us to all find our footing. And, You know, there was injuries, there was COVID. It was kind of wild early on. But what I think was so evident through it all was just the culture that you talked about here, the leadership group, and kind of being a little bit of a part of it. It was so neat how they gathered themselves. We gathered ourselves. We found a way forward, and I think we were one of the better teams down the stretch from January on. So, you know, that's just who they are here. There's such a standard set by Berge, and honestly, Marshawn's like the motor here as well. And, you know, you got Pasternak in the next wave, like Charlie McAvoy, who's a stud defenseman, and Brandon Carlo. The kind of list goes on of these guys that have been around and seen it from Char on out. And there's just, you know, there's such a culture and a belief here that as well that, you know, they know they're a good team. I think they've, you know, we've been a 100-point team for a lot of years here, so they expect to do well. And it was unfortunate the way it ended, because, you know, I think we felt like it was a series that we just needed to find one way to win a road game. And who knows, especially seeing them play on. But you know, there's a lot of growth, I think, on this team, and now we feel like we're that unit that we expected to be at the beginning, and we're looking forward to going into the next season with that.
Chatting with Nick Foligno of the Boston Bruins, and obviously you go into an offseason, you never really know what could possibly change, but, you know, the main ingredients of that Bruins team are likely going to return, and it feels as if a similar thing is going to happen up here in Toronto, and you guys had the same fate. You know, you both lost in Game 7, both really good teams, both had high expectations. You're familiar with, you know, the big boys up here in Toronto and the idea of them running it back. You know, how much confidence can you take in that when an executive, whether it's Neely, you know, Shanahan, whoever it is committed to that? Like, even though it didn't work for your team, the idea that there's belief that it will work down the road, if you're a part of that team and that type of confidence is being sent your way, what's the reaction like in the room?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I think you feel it from the guys, right? Everyone's so disappointed after you lose. And, you know, you're first of all, you're kind of rehashing, as you guys know, like, okay, what went on, what went wrong. But then as you kind of sort through it, you start to come to terms, okay, you know, maybe there's some things that we can fix and be better, but, you know, it's there. You know, you're not a 100-point team in this league by accident. And, you know, it's crazy, actually, in the East, how many there were. It's just nuts, the parity in the league now. It's just insane. But it still shows you how good an elite of a team you are to be in that mix. And I think that's where you take confidence in the fact that the management knows that. They believe in you. They're going to maybe, you know, figure out what they can do to address some areas. And then, you know, it's on us as players to make sure we make good on it. And I think that's, you know, probably the Tampa Bay, you know, you can use that as an example. The core, they could easily blown out. Even Washington, all those years knocking on the door, and they finally break through that one year. You know, I think that's what you want as a management, that, you know, a belief in your core and who you are. And if you're part of that core, then you're going to do whatever it takes to try and make good on the, you know, the respect that you've been given from management. So I think a lot of guys feel good about, you know, we feel like we had a great year and we should have done more. So there's a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of Bruins players, and, you know, no one's happy. I don't think anyone, you know, after a series is like, oh, you know, I had my guy, I feel good. When you lose, it's every guy wants more. When you're not winning the Stanley Cup, there's still more to give. There's more to do as a team. So I think every guy's taking that upon themselves that they're here and making sure we have a good summer to come back and be that team we envision, and then taking that step that we need to take to overcome the obstacles that we had this year.
Yep, we look forward to seeing how all of that plays out. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs and the off season, Nick, and we'll do this again down the road. Really appreciate you taking time for us.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's always good to chat. Appreciate it.
Got it. There's Nick Foligno of the Boston Bruins, former Leaf, Maple Leaf alumni, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota, and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com.
I had a former Leaf inquire about an alumni jacket.
Really?
Disclose who it was. Through a mutual friend, New Wave Dave.
Is that right?
Was it Ugly Face?
No. He's already got one, I think.
I would think so.
I would hope so. I mean, he is affiliated with another team now. But I saw that, actually. There was Leafs TV was running through, like, an old footage of – remember when Brett Lindros used to host a show on that?
Yeah, it wasn't an NHLPA.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that would have played wherever it was. And
be Cabrera, a player.
Yeah, be a player show. Yeah.
That's right. They'd interview all the different – you know, they'd have like one question of the week. They'd interview different players around practices around the NHL.
I was on that show.
Yeah,
I was too.
There you go.
It was fun.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Caber was like a feature item in this, and they were down by the docks, like hidden golf balls. Caber was spraying them everywhere.
I'm telling you, the worst swing you've ever seen in your life.
Like Charles Barkley type of thing?
Yeah, worse. He hits his driver 128 yards with a fade.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's so strong.
Yeah.
But he just can't, it's like his arms are attached to his body and he can't make a backswing.
Yeah.
Wow.
No joke, 140 yard driver, Brian McCabe.
Yeah.
Like strong as an ox.
Yeah.
He was a beauty in that.
You guys have seen the build on him with his khakis and the golf shirt.
Oh, yeah. Caber's still, he's a big dude. Like,
do you remember the scene he put on walking into that bar in, what was it, in Chicago? He was wearing a golf shirt and khaki pants, and he was jammed into both of them.
There was a tight tuck on both of them.
Yeah, tight tuck.
And he was a late arrival, and he came in hot. It was great to see.
I wonder what the salad is like now. He has got to be hanging on for dear. I'm going to tell him to send me a picture.
No, it is so.
I'm going to get a pic, and we'll get Joe from the bridge to put it up.
Yeah,
him and Strutty are neck and neck. I think it's turkey for those guys. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
he's going to have to wear the helmet and go on the flight. I'm pretty sure.
That'd be a great trip. Can you imagine that, getting a photo with Brian McCabe on your way back from Turkey?
You know, and you all have the head wrap on.
Yeah. Selfies, you know.
You're in the middle, and on the left is Strutty, and on the right is Brian McCabe, and all three of you got the head wrap on.
It would be just an awesome picture. Like, what a picture that would be. That's a boys' trip.
Yeah.
Quick, you know, jaunt into Istanbul for a
Istanbul
quick salad.
For 18 and a new salad. What a weekend.
What a weekend. Istanbul for a 18 and a new salad. And
Istanbul Country Club and a new salad up top.
Yeah,
I would love it.
I would love it.
I might be there eventually.
I think we're all moving in that direction. Let's be honest.
Yeah, O's got a big thick. You're just gonna be like O's. Just gonna be gray. Like you're gonna be.
I'm already there, bud.
You've got a thick head of hair. Like you're not gonna.
My
go
hair ain't
anytime.
Going anywhere.
Same with Hayes. It's starting to fade a little bit back.
Yeah,
back
you're
the
probably the
over.
Contender, you know, representing
yes.
the show.
Oh,
right
for
now.
Sure, for sure. Yeah. But I'm 3 years or 4 years older than O, and Hayes, I'm like 13 years older than you, so it doesn't matter. Like,
I mean, that's the thing. Give me some time. I might catch up. The hair is the one thing, you know, I need to hold on for dear life. The weight, I don't know. The weight, I guess, is under my control, but we'll see what
somewhat.
Happens.
Somewhat.
I'm inspired now by Nick Foligno. You know, he enjoys working out, and he wants to continue to work. You just got to be wired that way, you know? Like, you just got to – some people, it doesn't matter. They can be so hungover in Vegas, they get up and go for a run at 6:30 in the morning. You know, it's how you're wired. Yeah, exactly. Like, it happened. I'm not wired that way, and I never – you don't all of a sudden become wired that way either, right?
No.
You don't hit 40 or 50 and say, oh, now I'm marathon on New Year's Day guy.
I got you, like, pegged, and I know you don't have any massive nights anymore, maybe on a cottage weekend, but if you go get gooned, it's like, don't talk to me until noon. I got as that guy.
Yes. For 2 days, though.
I have multi-day hangovers. It's the truth. It's awful.
If he has a big weekend, he's shot on Monday.
Noodles, like, the first couple of years we worked with him, he'd go away for a weekend. He'd call in. The Monday would be like a no-go every time. I'm like, I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it would sometimes be a Friday Monday, which the battery is – that's a tough one to explain.
At least you guys know.
Not very mature.
I wear it at least. My voice is no good, but I at least try and grind through.
Oh, yeah, you show up. Yeah,
but I'm no good.
Never know.
You never know.
I mean, my voice is no good, but I'll try and grind through if you've had, you know, a bunch of drinks and smokes and
that's
all of
what
that.
You're supposed to do if you're a mature person. You know, I'm lacking in maturity.
Noodles, when you were in Vancouver, I thought for sure you were tuned until 8 in the morning, but you had novovirus.
I did have the novavirus, but I mean, my buddy ended up calling me, and he was like, I had to go to the hospital. He thought we all got food poisoning because we ordered Italian food that night from his restaurant.
You had Novo. Hazy had Novo.
Yeah, Novo's around.
That was something else. That was a scene.
Violence.
Like, my voice was shot, and my body was shot. Like, I was – I was literally just laying on the floor in the shower. That's what I was like.
The crying game.
Yeah, I was. Courtesy of the norovirus. Best door. It was no good. No
All right,
good.
Jerry's percentage is coming up. Jerry's got some rapid-fire takes. He's got a lot of things to say. We don't want to waste his time. We'll catch up with Jerry next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
And this segment on Overdrive brought to you by Shorncliffe Disposal and Landscape Supply, your one-stop shop and official Echo dealer in Etobicoke at 51 Shorncliffe Road. Jerry, I'm sure, is a busy man. I'm sure he's gallivanting all over North America, right? Like, you got to show yourself at all these different spots and all these different games. And Stanley Cup playoffs have been pretty good so far.
I haven't seen him once.
He was out in the first round a lot. He was out west. He was in Calgary, Edmonton, I believe.
Oh, yeah,
he was made
in
it.
Calgary. Didn't he say, you need a new arena?
That's
yeah,
right.
He was. He took a shot. They got caught in the elevator, right?
Right, he got stuck at the arena. In the elevator. That's he hated that rink anyway. Then you get stuck in an elevator. Man, you're going to be furious about that. So,
agreed.
Yeah, maybe the second round he mails it in. I don't know. But he had enough time to join us. And why don't we hear from Jerry?
Yep.
Go.
The Battle of Alberta has Jerry's creative juices flowing and business acumen buzzing. So listen to this master plan. Jerry's all in on creating the Battle of Arizona. That's right, Winnipeg. Pack your bags, because the Jets are on their way to Tucson.
Oh, my God.
Jerry looks like he sounds like he's had dental issues recently. We need to shoot him an email and get to the bottom of that. That's disappointing.
The first part was like... really tough. Can you just play the first part, Miles? It was
The Battle of Alberta has Jerry's creative juices flowing and business acumen buzzing.
Oh, creative juices and business acumen. Buzzing.
We gotta have that as a drop.
Oh,
just,
man.
That is a creative. Anyway, Jerry's Jesus. Having issues. Get to the takes.
Hey, listen, dental issues, they pop up. You never, maybe bit into a Sandy and things went south. Anything's possible.
It could be.
Yeah, we're
I
playing that
know.
Again. We're definitely playing that again.
Forever.
But, let's see. All right, let's get to the takes. Let's see what Jerry has for us this week.
Jerry's searching for the fast forward button on the playoffs. Because we all know what's coming. Colorado versus Tampa in the cup final.
Yeah, Jerry's saying he's looking for the fast forward button. Forget all these other teams. They're all posers because it's Colorado-Tampa lock in the cup final.
You know what? I'm going to go 50%.
Really? You think there's an upset?
I just think McDavid's on a mission and don't count him out. I mean... Mike Smith makes you kind of have some questions, but I'm not just going to say as good as Colorado is, they're going to go in there and roll over Edmonton. I think McDavid said enough's enough, and I'm taking control of this. So that's why I'm going to put it at 50. I think Tampa's a lock in the East, but I'm not putting anything by McDavid right now.
I think it's almost
insulting that I'm already saying Edmonton's going to beat Calgary. Calgary's going to have something to say tomorrow.
Yeah, well St. Louis might have an answer, too.
Yeah,
but I doubt
right.
it.
Right, but, I mean, both down 3-1. I'm more looking at it just from the starting of the year. Colorado's played in a different league. You know what I mean? Like, they've been just destroying teams for fun. And we talked about this yesterday. Like, who's beaten Vasilevsky 4 times?
You know, well, like Carolina will have home ice advantage, which...
Yeah, and they've been unbelievable at
home. They don't
home.
Lose at home. They suck on the road. They're the worst team in the league on the road. Best team of all time at home.
I
6-0 at home, 0-5 on the road in the playoffs.
I'm going to say 78% that Colorado-Tampa looks like the final on paper. But again, we all thought Calgary was going to take care of Edmonton on paper because... You know, the consistent season they had. I don't think we give Edmonton enough credit. They had 104 points this year, and they had a stretch where they only got...
2-month dip that was awful.
awful. They had 4 points in 16 games. That's not just a dip. That's a train wreck. But they got it together. So I'm 78% still.
Yeah, I'm going to be 51%. I'll lean just over because I do think you're onto something with McDavid and the Oilers, although, you know, Colorado's a big favorite in that, as they should be. But I'm not willing to say that, you know, if it's the Rangers, I think Tampa wins that. Although Shesterkin could stand on his head, but I doubt it. I don't think he duels with Vasilevsky. But Carolina is a really good team, and they will have home ice advantage. You know, like,
right.
And if they find a way to push that to 7, which I could see them doing against Tampa, they would have a shot. I'm not completely writing them off, but Tampa's home free. I think Colorado joins them tonight. From that standpoint alone, you know, they're going to be in a very good position. Very good position. They're clearly the two best teams going right now.
And to add to that, I don't know if we see Point. I just don't.
I'm with you. We haven't heard anything about. Like he looked like he needed surgery in Toronto that night.
Forget going
back to Tampa.
That wasn't just, you know, a
slight
injury.
And that is going to catch up to them, I think. Like, that's interesting what Foligno said. Foligno answered your question, though, and he started with Point.
Yeah.
So, like, Point's the energy on that team. He's the guy. He never stops.
Well, he said, the engine. Yeah, like he drives
the
that
engine.
Team.
Yeah. And I'm with you, Noodles. Like, that might catch up to them at some point. All right, moving on. What else do we have, Jerry?
Rory McIlroy is back at the Canadian Open, and I'll bet he defends his title. Rory's going to torch St. George's and give the Heisman to the Overdrive Clowns.
This is tough sledding.
Yeah, it's got a Cletus kind of vibe to it. Because we're going to be there. We're going to be on the 16th tee all week. We're going to, like, think about this, the grappler who's like 6'5", Roy McIlroy. What is McIlroy, 5'7"? The grappler will be trying to put him into a pretzel and drag him into the booth. But I don't know. I'm not going to put a percentage on whether or not we get a chance to chat with McIlroy. Hopefully we do. But the idea of him winning, you see Justin Thomas is in it. This field is unreal. Scheffler's there. It's a great field for the Canadian Open. Great field. I'll say 20%. I mean, it's McIlroy. He's going to be in the running. But a lock to repeat. We haven't seen the Canadian Open since 19 when he won it at Hamilton. But I'll say 20%. I think he's one of like a handful of guys I would put money on to win this.
They're going to do some stuff to that golf course that, like, I think Carl Pedersen won the last time at St. George's at, like, 30 under par or something.
It'll be tougher than that, I guarantee it.
How? It's the same course.
Well, maybe you get the rough a little bit longer, which is what it should be. You know, I don't know, maybe the stimp meter.
Mess with the greens a little?
Can you adjust the tees? Like, it's within the city, so there's only so much you can do in terms of the yardage. But, yeah, okay, continue. I just don't think 30 under, I don't know if that's actually what it was. I don't see 30 under winning this.
But, grappler, get the number. Well, they're only better. Like, four or 5 years, they're only better golfers. So.
Yep.
But the percentage is McIlroy winning?
Yes, McIlroy winning.
Right.
I'll give him 35% chance. Like, there's some good guys showing up, man.
Oh, it's a great
All
deal.
The RBC guys are showing up.
That's right. Yeah,
I'm 15. I'm 15% because I think you mentioned the field is strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like 15 is pretty good odds based on who's going to be there. So
absolutely. Well, anyone can win this tournament. I mean, that's life on the PGA Tour. There's a lot of great players, but McIlroy's a stud, and he's coming back. It'll be good to see him. All right, Jerry, what else do we have?
The Flames got hit with the extinguisher last night. Because this one's done in 5.
Jerry calling a shot back to Calgary. The Battle of Alberta ends with the Flames on home ice.
I'm wondering if the guy that wrote the things out for Jerry purposely put a lot of S's in
there. Yeah, it does sound like that. I would have to believe that would be just a coincidence, but
yeah, a lot of
anything's
S's
possible, I guess. Extinguisher, I don't think that's ever been scripted for Jerry before.
Yeah, that's tough.
I think the Flames under Daryl Sutter are obviously going to have something to say, but I don't know. Markstrom, the top line, I don't know if they can have a big enough bounce back to get it done. It seems like Edmonton has just found something and they're running with it.
Well, they've dealt with adversity. That's the
I'm going 85% is my percentage.
Wow.
You guys are.
I thought the Flames would win last night. Clearly, I was off on that.
So did I.
Yep. I think the Flames will win Game 5. I do personally. Yeah. So I'll jump in. I'll say 30%. I mean, clearly, there's a chance. Obviously, Edmonton has proven that they can win on the road. They can win in any capacity in the series. But I believe Calgary will have a response. I don't think they're going to go down in 5.
Yeah, I'm 22%. I think they're going to have a big response on home ice. And we'll
Markstrom better show up, though. They got to score first, too, right? You got to get that building popping.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, they've got to there's a lot of, like, you got to do this, got to do that. Basically, their big boys have to show up.
Yep.
That's what they need. So.
All right. Jerry.
Heard you pigeons talking about Aaron Judge yesterday. Well, he's reaching Jerry levels of New York bar play. And he'll get the $300 million-plus on his next deal.
$300 million. That's what he wants. You know that's a bold number he's looking at. The Yankees were not willing to go there. Will Steve Cohen and the Mets go there? I mean, the guy might win the MVP the way things are currently playing out.
So it's got to be $300 with the Yankees? $300
million. Or $300 million, period, anywhere. Yankees, Mets, Angels, Dodgers.
Because as soon as you brought up the Mets and Cohen, I think that would, like, this is his second year on the job, isn't it?
Yep.
Or as the owner, I think he would love to make that splash. He would love to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's all you need, right? You get a little, you get a negotiating battle going.
Yeah. Then. I'm 85% this guy's getting $300 million.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on that, too, just based on the level of competition out there.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Noodles, as good as this guy is at his age, I wouldn't be giving him –
That's the thing, right? Like, Feinstein joined us last hour. He said, you know, if you give him 7 years at, like, $40 million a year, he's going to turn that down? That's $280 million.
He's a big dude. Like, he's 30. It's like I'm not doing it, but somebody will. 85% he gets the money.
I think he does. I think he gets the money because he's got a chance to win MVP. What if he wins MVP and they go deep?
Go to a World Series? Yeah, that's like probably going to get you paid.
I think he's going to get paid. I'm big on this. I'm 75%.
Yeah, I'm going to go lower than you guys just based on how many teams are willing to go there. How many teams are he willing to accept to as well? He wants to stay in New York. You become a Yankee, you want to stay a Yankee. You're a New York legend, you want to stay there. It's incredibly intoxicating. So I think it's basically going to be, you know, the Yankees or the Mets. I mean, could you see a Bryce Harper scenario where a team comes out of nowhere and, you know, the White Sox give him $300 million or something? Possibly. But I feel like because of his age, it's going to be a shade under that. Could it be 290, 295? That was to qualify as Jerry being wrong on it. So I'll say 30%. 30% he hits $300 million total.
Jerry's ears were perking when he heard the Mark Giordano deal because that starts the clock on Jake Muzzin's exit from Toronto. He won't be a Leaf past next year's trade deadline.
Okay, so Jerry is getting into the rumor mill game, and he's connecting some dots here. He thinks it'll be Muzzin, the odd man out, and post-deadline next year, Jake Muzzin will not be a Leaf.
Why would Muzzin be the guy out? I'm 0% on this.
Hmm. 0%.
Big price. Yeah, it's
5.75, right? That's his cap hit?
Yes, I believe so.
I don't think it's the player. I think they're looking at it and saying, you know, if we need to have some flexibility for, a financial situation, he might be a guy that would be slightly expendable. I don't think he is, but
how many suitors are out there, like, for a guy over 30, injury, big cap hit? Like, it'd have to be a really good team, you would think, right? Like,
I would think so.
It's not a scenario where you're dumping the contract.
No,
you'd
I mean,
looking
yeah,
for
we
a
got
fit
people writing us going,
back.
Yeah, trade him to here, trade him to there.
No,
it just makes me sick, the idea of another guy going overboard. I understand he had injuries last season, but we talk about having edge and character and blah blah blah. Him, if he gets healthy and can respond, I think he's an awesome player. But it just it, the talk of throwing more guys overboard because the other guys are making so much money.
Kadri, Hyman, yep, and they're all making an impact right now.
Kadri, Hyman, think about the list. Kadri, Hyman, Kapanen, Johansson.
Johansson,
it never ends. Overboard, 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 no winning. Insane.
Well, I mean, ultimately, too, you got to figure out what you're doing in net. You're going to have to pay somebody to play a goal. Like, whether it's Jack Campbell.
That's another thing, right? If you allot money there, it's got to come from somewhere else.
It's got to come from somewhere else. And, like, I was reading an article earlier about Kevin Fiala. Like, Minnesota has to throw people overboard because of the dead cap money with the Suter and Parisi contract. Like, that Fiala's a hell of a player. He's an 80. I think he got 85 points this year. They might have to trade him because they're not going to be able to afford him in 1 year because he's going to be unrestricted. So that there is going to be a lot of movement here in the offseason. And, you know, that's where if you need some cap flexibility, you might have to throw somebody overboard or find a deal so that you can pay player X or player Y. That's the challenge.
And that's how ruthless it can be. It's not even – that's when the bean counter is coming into play. Right? It's not even about the player or the person or the impact in the room. It's the number and getting under a finite number. That's the thing about a hard cap, Jerry's hard salary cap, that these kind of discussions even have to happen. I'll say 20%, though. I don't think it's zero. I think all chips are on the table, right? Like, you're going to move pieces around. Muzzin, I'm not sure he's a part of, like, the like, primary core got to have. You know, like, I think it's the forwards up front if they decide to go with that. Riley, you know, I think Brody Giordano's coming back. I don't know. Like, it can only go so far before you say, well, you're into 10, 11, 12 players. You know, and, once you're into the middle of your roster, then you have a different level of security, you know, and possibly importance to the team and the team building. So,
I'm 15%. I think there's a layer there, but I think
there's a chance, but it's low. I think it's probably low. All right, Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. This segment on Overdrive brought to you by Shore and Cliff Disposal and Landscape Supply, your one-stop shop and official Echo dealer in Etobicoke at 51 Shore and Cliff Road. So we've got our PGA picks. We got a tournament this week. Pretty good field, actually, this week. So we'll get to those into the next hour. We got our best bets brought to you by FanDuel still to come. And Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So about an hour ago, you posed a question, like, if you could pull the face off the Nick Cage, John Travolta, the plot of that movie, which is still the most outrageous plot idea ever that got passed in Hollywood.
You're going bachelor party, Miami, Bahamas type place. You could pick one person from TSN. Who do you select for their face?
Well, you seem to have someone in mind, so why don't you go
Mine
ahead?
Mine is very easy. I go Darren Dreger, and I grow a mustache because you have a Tom Selleck lookalike.
Wow. Tom Selleck.
There you go.
Looks like Tom Selleck.
Darren Dreger, and I grow a mustache, and I go Tom Selleck. Joe from the Bridge, I didn't really need that picture.
The tarp
That's
off,
an interesting
too.
Pick. Yeah, okay.
The hairiest chest you've ever seen.
You put a stash on Dregs, he's Tom Selleck.
Interesting. Selleck had a, like, what's he doing now? Is he, you know,
he's kind of hangs
out. He's doing
out.
Some goofy law show or something. He's got his hair all.
Isn't he like a police officer or something like that in Chicago or something. I've seen those commercials.
Chicago Law or something like that. He's got Jimmy Benning dip going on the salad. He's dialed in.
He's had a long career, though, man.
He's been
around
awesome
for a long time.
Tom Selleck. Love that guy.
Yeah. Dregs, a.k.a. Tom Selleck. I hadn't thought. Well, Leanne, our friend Leanne, said it had to be Leo Rauten. So I think that's
great. Oh, wow.
Because then you get the tan, right? Like, it's a permanent tan when you're Leo Rauten. If you look like Leo, you look tanned and you looked healthy and you look like you're in a good spot. So I like it.
Leo is, he's such a handsome guy. And how tall is he too? Isn't he like 6'5"?
Big dude. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's taller than that. He's probably 6'8", you know, 6'9" maybe, Leo. So yeah, you can't go wrong there for sure. Tom Selleck, we got to look that dude up. And Speaking of long and great careers, like the Top Gun, the Maverick movies, is it out yet or it's coming out?
No, it starts Friday.
It's getting a ton of promotion. It's going to make a fortune because movies are making a lot of money again, right? The most recent Marvel movie I saw passed like $800 million or something. So they're making money again. And he's shooting another Mission Impossible. There's another Mission Impossible coming out.
Wow. I'll be at a late night Maverick. I'll be dialed.
Yeah, I mind checking that out. And I love
it's been forever since I wanted to see a movie.
Here's the thing, though. This Cruise is like Brady. I think there's a lot of, like, Tom Cruise, they're saying he did his own stuff. Like, he's flying the plane. He's flying a jet plane all of a
sudden.
Serious. Like,
serious. I'm not buying that either. But the guy is an A-list superstar. And, he has had one of the five or six great, like, A-list movie star careers, I would say.
Agreed.
You know, Tom Cruise. So, final hour coming up. Darren Dreger, a.k.a. Tom Selleck, and our PGA picks. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.